Blog Talk Radio.
To Jesus. We thank you, dear Father, for your love. Thank you for your direction. We thank you, dear Father, for giving your breath that we breathe in through our lungs. Hallelujah. That feels good to breathe. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. And touch now to my sisters and my brothers, to anyone who is maybe having a problem breathing right now. I pray for you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that no weapon formed against your lungs, no weapon formed against your respiratory area shall prosper. That is a gift that has been given to you, the ability to breathe in his freshness, his anointing, his aroma. And I encourage you that if you've done anything on your journey that has put you in a position to maybe not be able to receive all that he's trying to give to you, maybe smoking, whatever it could be that we're putting down off inside of our lungs, that after a while it just gets tired and the elasticity is not there anymore. And maybe it's different other things that be going on in the esophagus or in the respiratory system. It could be alcohol or it could be all kind of dangerous elements that we have found ourselves in situations that we partake of. And the enemy doesn't tell us that it's going to, in the end, destroy our breathing, or it's going to destroy any part of our organs. Or he just want to remind you at the moment that that feels good, that just walk by the flesh. I want you to know God is a God of so many chances. And if you come wholeheartedly to him and you repent of your sins, you got to identify that it's a sin. You've got to want to turn away from it, right? I know a lot of people say, I've been doing it this long, and it's divine. I don't even think it's going to help me if I stop right now or if I quit, or I don't know if I can quit. But I'm telling you, God is never going to leave you, and he's right there with you. And all things are possible. You can make it through those detox. You can make it through that medical diagnosis. It may say that, hey, it's nothing else we can do. Good. I came to you, and that's good. At least I know you've done what you can do. Now let me just throw it all into the hands of my Creator, of my Father, because I have repented of my sins. And so I know that he said he would throw them into the sea of forgetfulness and remember them no more. I'm also forgiving myself. And even if I take my last breath tonight, I'm going to take it knowing that I'm forgiven. But I'm asking you, Father God, to heal me. With your forgiveness, heal me. With your forgiveness, direct me. How should I live out the rest of my journey? I don't know if it's 1 hour or if it's 100 years. We don't know. But I want to do it for you. I want to do it believing in you. I want to change. I want to choose the life tonight. If that's your prayer tonight, don't be afraid to open your heart and speak directly to me. Hallelujah. To speak directly to him. This is the late night chat with Minister Vaughn. And my ministry is the word of God through the voice of Vaughn. And so I welcome each and every one of you to the late night chat. Whatever you've had going on today, it may have been strenuous for you. You may have had one of those days. It happens. It's happened. We're not going to ignore that and say that, oh, no, everything is cheery every day. There's smiles all day long. Or even if we are smiling, there's sadness behind those smiles from time to time. And I'm a witness to that. Because one of my things is, why go around frowning even in the midst of trouble? I would just rather carry a smile with me. I feel better. I feel better when I'm smiling. I feel better when I can find the joy inside of me, even though it may be some sad things that are happening, even though I may have had to stop for a moment and cry. That's okay. That's okay. That's just an emotion that I just had to deal with at that time. But it doesn't mean I have to stay in tears. I have to stay sad. It doesn't mean that I can't lift up my head and I can't look you in the eye and carry on a conversation about something other than what's bothering me. Yeah, I can still go ahead, go into your conversation with a smile. I can still share some of my smile with you. Yeah, I'm not going to not speak to you because I'm having a bad day. And then the next day show up and say, oh, girl, I know I didn't speak to you yesterday. Oh, I know I didn't talk yesterday. Or I was having a bad day. I know I cussed you out. I know I said some things that hurt you. I was just having a bad day. Well, those behaviors, we need to check those because we can't line that up with the Word of God. We can't line that up with the Word of God. So on our journey, we got to make sure that we understand what we're doing and what we're choosing. Each and every day, what we're choosing, life, death. Were we choosing sorrow and pain? Have you ever ran into someone that every day it's almost like they look for the bad? They look for what's going to be wrong today. What's going to go wrong? But I know it's going to happen to me. I know I'm not going to have any luck with this. I know I'm not going to be blessed with this. I know my kids is not going to make the team. My kids is not. And then we're blaming on different things. And now, hear me from the spirit, because we know racism is real. Prejudice is real. All that stuff is definitely real things that happen to us. But a lot of times we get in, set ourselves in such a position that we're a victim before we even get out of the bed. We're already a victim. Yeah. We're already a victim. So whatever happens, we already knew, hey, we was expecting something bad to happen. We was expecting something bad to happen. We was expecting not to get that job. We were expecting to get stopped by every red light that we came through today, knowing that you're late. It just amazes me sometimes that we would do things, and we're late. We acknowledge that, hey, it's me. I'm late. But then we get out among society in our communities, and we want to put everybody else's life in danger because we're late. It's like, wow. We want to run every yellow light. We're flying past everybody. We're cutting in and out of traffic because we're late. And something go down, and go, well, you didn't understand. I was late. But that's on you. And for you to put that on everybody else and we got to pay for it? No. I just don't think so. Have I ever been late? Sure, I have. It's one of my pet peeves. I don't like being late. So, yes, I've been late. And, yes, I've had to pray to God, however you need to make a way, let me still be there on time. Something maybe didn't start at the time that it was, and I still made it on time, or whatever it was, just make a way that the meeting, nothing goes in the meeting that I had to do is going to happen. So I just cover my lateness. Hallelujah. And have I started to do it over and over and over again? Yes, I have. Yes, I have. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Because he's just that kind of God. But I'm not going to go out and try to make you put your life in danger or do something that's going to affect you just because of my lateness, my tardiness, because of a choice I made. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So whatever you have done today and said today, and before you lay your head down tonight, get it off of your chest. You know, if it's somebody you need to reach out to, and it's already 11:15 Central Time, 12:15 Eastern Time. You're in Pacific, you still got some little time. So maybe just call somebody that you have offended today. Is that too much to ask? Maybe you want to start by just sending a text, but it's so much better if you're offended there, voice to voice, face to face. It's from your heart that they hear it from you. They hear it through their own ears from you. They hear the sincerity in your voice. And maybe you just want to, I don't want to lay down tonight without telling you that I was wrong. I was wrong. I was caught up in my own feelings. I was caught up in something else. I was really jealous of you. It's hard for us to say those words, isn't it? I was jealous of you? What? Why are you going to admit that? Because it's a thing. We cannot allow it to hold us back, and it will hold you down. It'll choke you out if you don't get rid of it. And you just got to say, it was something about that moment, or it was something about what you said, or it was something about your position that you just got, or it was something that just made me jealous. Admit it. To good friends and people who love you truly, when you come to them like that and they can see the sincerity in your heart, they know that this is not just something you're doing in it and then next week you're going to be doing it again and you'll run back to me again with some excuse. No. It should be few and far between. But when it does, you can come to me. I can come to you. And we can hug it out. We can hug it. We can love it out. The love of just overpower it all, because we're going to choose love instead of the unforgiveness. We're going to choose love instead of sweeping it under the rug. And just, if I don't say anything, she'll eventually forget about it. He won't say anything, and we're just going about our business. And you'll notice that as you continue to walk on that rug, you felt something underneath your feet that wasn't there before. That's the anger. That's the animosity. That's all of that anger building up, and it now is becoming a big pile right there under that rug that you thought you neatly swept it under. You thought, okay, it's not visible any longer. It's still there, and it's going to reveal itself. And so whatever it was that I was mad at you for, this reason. I was mad because you were late picking me up. I was mad at you because what you said to me made no sense. I was mad that you made this big thing without even talking to me. You went ahead and did it, whatever it is. The quicker that you can come and lay that down, talk it out, you may leave there still not totally on agreement. But at least it's out there. It's out there. And it gives the other people, the other parties, time to at least think about some things that you said. And they may have to come back to you and say, well, you know what? Now that you say that, maybe I did give you the wrong impression, and I can kind of see why you would get upset or why you did go in the wrong direction when that took. Maybe this or maybe that. But you know what? We may still have to agree to disagree, but I love you, girl. You do? We're family. We're friends. We're coworkers. We're here together. We're prayer warriors. You would not believe how many prayer warriors are just falling out, just flicking each other away. I don't want to have anything to do with her anymore. She knew I was going to do that, and she wouldn't get it before me. Just little minute things. And if we don't address those things, they become huge things. And then you look back and how did this war ever start? I don't remember exactly what happened to start it, Minister Vaughn, but here's where we're at. Here's where we're at now. we've got to be bigger than this, bigger than that. So on the late night chats, we get a chance to just open up our hearts as we have. We are in a relaxed mode. You may be in, even in bed right now, just listening back in the archives or you're live now, but you're just in the chat and you're just chilling. You're just chilling. You're just laying back. But it's an opportunity. I should just lay back. There's nobody poking at you. No reports are due right now. You don't have to worry about the report that's due tomorrow because guess what? It's still going to be due tomorrow. You can do that tomorrow. Think about the way you're going to work that out tomorrow. But tonight you say a prayer about that and you give it to God. And he'll take care of it. When you get up in the morning, wake up with expectation that he's got your directions of how you're going to get that report finished, how it's going to rule everybody that's there, that you were able to sleep on the night. Isn't it good that we serve a God that does not sleep nor slumber? So we don't have to, we don't take time off. I need 2 weeks over here. Yeah, I just need a break. I'm getting burnt out. Vaughn, you've called on me quite a bit now. I'm getting burnt out. I'm going to have to step away for a moment. Hey, Jesus, that you're in a position at all times. You have unlimited patience for us, love for us. Your gifts are always there for us. You always have an ear to listen and an arm to hold us and to carry us and to pick us up. And, we serve a good God. We serve a good God. And so all he's asking us to do is before we try to take these burdens on our own and we mess up some relationships and we mess up things that we're going to need, we don't recognize or realize, I should say, that we're going to need these things in our future because we don't know what our journey looks like. And so we just say, ha, 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 get out of my life. I don't need you. I can make it by myself. Get out of my life. But you just didn't know. That may have been part of the answer to some things that you've been praying about. You've been waiting for. And now you're just shooing people out of your life. You're just shooing people out of your life. So we thank you, Jesus, for your patience and for directing us and giving us love. And thank you for your honesty. Thank you for just drawing us closer to you. Each and every day, you just draw us closer to you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise be the name of the Lord. So again, as you're there and you get to share your moments of your day with your loved ones. Don't forget to share with God. God, you know, thank you for this happening today. God, forgive me that I didn't do better about this item today. Thank you for bringing this person into my life today and let me acknowledge them. Some of the times that I think that, oh, okay, you know, it's easy to go out of your way and avoid people that you just don't want to be bothered. You just don't want to be bothered with or whatever. And they talk too much. Or they lie too much. Or they just get under your nerves. They're just quirky. They're just different from you. And you just prefer to just let me stay over here and let them stay over there. But every time I try to stay over here they come over here. Every time I try to stay over there, here they come over there. So you might as well deal with it, right? You might as well deal with it. And I find myself at those times that God is not going to get a person out of my way. He is not going to push them aside because he is trying to get me to deal with it. He's trying to get me to see, check inside of me. And instead of me saying, I never really go in prayer saying, God, change that person. Because I realize that whatever they have, it may be for something that they need in their journey. But I have tried to stay out of the way and avoid those people. But then when he brings them back around me over and over again, it's just like, wow. I now know. It was a time that I was like, God, why are they following me? Why are they always in my face? But I learned a long time ago that I heard it in my spirit so loud and clear. This is you. This is you. This is your issue that you've got to look inside. This is what's inside of you, that also feeling that you get like, oh, no, here they come again. You get on the elevator and around the corner, hey, one moment, and it's them. Oh, wow, here I am now in the elevator. You get ready to walk out of the office, and here they are, right there with you. So the quickest way to deal with that is to look inwardly. And I have to invite the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me to make the necessary corrections for me. Yeah. For me. And one of the things that he always seems to do, and I don't know how he deals with you, and for different situations, it could be different ways that he dealt with you also. I've had that happen also. But most of the times he tells me, just pray for them. It's something about you. Maybe they see God inside of you. Maybe they feel the Holy Spirit, and they just want to be close to you. Have you thought about that? That they just want to be close to the Holy Spirit that's inside of you. Because we don't know what's going on in their home. They could be going through so much trouble. It could be so much negativity. It could be abuse of any sort. It could be so many things that are going on in their lives. And the only peace that they see, only peace that they have, is when they're around you. Now, that convicted me when I first heard that in the Holy Spirit. That really took me somewhere. I felt really bad that I had been trying my best to avoid. And God wanted to show me something. He was trying to show me something. I was trying to shoo it away. Shoo, 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 shoo. Get away. I never would say that to anybody. But God was trying to teach me something, to look at people differently and not just see what I see on that outside, but kind of see people the way that he sees them, looking at their heart, looking at where they're truly coming from. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then the next time you see them come, you kind of feel a little bit like, oh, thank you, God, I get another opportunity to get this right. I get another opportunity to get this right, to do this over again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, Psalms 143 and 8, it says, cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. So, Father God, put me, even if it's uncomfortable to me, position that I can actually hear your love, your loving kindness. But see, sometimes we, whether we know it or not, we selfishly, we want God to love on us and show his kindness to us. But, oh, God, don't they get on your nerves? And he's like, look back at you. If you don't get on my nerves, why do you think you're so much different than them? Because you walk a little different than them? Because your journey looks a little different than theirs? Maybe you're not going through the identical circumstances or situations that they are going through. Maybe you would have handled it different. Maybe you've been through those situations. And maybe that wasn't your breaking point. You were able to go through that, but it's only because of growth is only because you too that was weak in that area has learned how to draw my strength This is the Lord speaking. And so now, you're strong enough that you can go through that. You have your scriptures in your heart that won't bother you anymore. But they're not there yet. So our job as a beloved child of God is that when we get, we always think that we have arrived, right? No, that's just one little area that you have conquered for this day. Something may be added on to that tomorrow. Now what are you going to do? Now how are you going to get through that one? But when you get to that pivotal point, did you think that, okay, I recognize the scheme that's going on here. Let me tighten up my armor because this is a battle. We're getting ready to fight. And I know that the battle is the Lord's, and I give it over to him. I just got to be a willing participant and stand right here and get my guard up and get ready to move when he says move. Mm-hmm. Now, what do? You reach back. You know what's directly behind you, right? The goodness and mercy is right there behind you, holding you when you tilt, pushing you back up in your position. Hallelujah for goodness and mercy. And you reach back and you get somebody else that's stumbling. They're not able to deal with what's going on in their life right now. They're stumbling. They don't know which way to go. They may choose the wrong way. You got to be the one that has the white flag saying, hey, surrender all that stuff over there that you're trying to pick up. That's just extra dead weight. Lay that stuff right on back down. I know it looks good. It's shining, and it looks like that somebody around you may give you a little praise and say, ooh, look what she's got. Wow. It ain't going to do you no good. In this circumstance, you need the Holy Spirit. In this circumstance, you need to choose not death. You need to choose it. In today's circumstances, in whatever you're going through for today, you got to make up your mind and decide, am I choosing blessings or curses? Hallelujah. Are you going to call on heaven and earth to be there? Are you going to call the word of God that you're going to spread again? Spread a little word over this world. How do you do that? You choose life. You come to God. He says, come to me, all you. That's you, me, any of us. I don't care if our race, our colors. I don't care if our status in life. Come to me, he says. You beg of your child. You beckon that child to come to me. You're in trouble, come. All you who labor and are heavy laden. He said, I will give you rest. Rest in the Lord. I will give you rest. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The Bible says, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. And then he says, no, choose life. Choose life. I'm going to go ahead and give it to you. I'm not, it's no little hidden agendas to it. I want you to know, choose life. Choose life. I've given you the choice. In whatever situation you're in, look at that situation, that argument, that demotion. Whatever it is, just check it out. There is some life in there. There's some things that's dying or is dead. Hallelujah. Sometimes we're in jobs, we're in friendships. That it is just over. It's just dead. You dread going to work. You dread being in that friendship anymore. I'm not talking about your marriage. Don't go back and say, Minister Bond said, this marriage is dead. Get gone. No. Sorry. But it's some things that God is trying to show you or move you to another area, take you to that higher level that you're praying about. You feel it, the shifting in your spirit, and you don't know how it's going to happen or when it's going to happen. And he said, the time is now, but they can't go with you where you're going. You can't wag and bring everybody. They would weigh you down. You can't do it from where you're at right now. I know you got comfortable. I see the lazy boy. But that's not going to get you to where you need to be. I'm just trying to answer your prayers, he said. But I've got to get you to keep your eyes focused on me. And know that when you're with me, it's always going to be movement. Hallelujah. It's always going to be movement. So you're going to have to keep moving. If not, that's one of the ways of how we get heavy laden. Because we sat and we get so many and we get so comfortable, and then we get all these people. The lazy boy felt good at first when it was only you in it, but now you got your job. It's sitting on the chair also. Now you got your mix up all these different relationships and your kids' relationships and all of these different things of the world that you're hearing from social media, and everywhere you look, there it is, more fighting, more wars, more discrimination, more racism. And before you know it, you don't know what to fight for, what not to fight for. Your chair is so loaded, you can't even feel the comfort anymore. You can't even feel the comfort anymore. Let it go. Let it go. Everybody off of you. Push all of that stuff away. So God, will you just take all of this from me? This was not my intentions when I started. Hallelujah. Get back to just where you can see God. Because we get so comfortable helping everybody and we forget to help ourselves. We pray for everybody, but we didn't pray for ourselves. Like it says, in the airlines, you've got to be able to put your own oxygen mask on first. And then you help your children or whoever else you're assisting. Why? Because if you take out all the time to help everybody else, you're going to run out of oxygen. You're not going to have a room to help yourself. So if you're responsible for this child or this elderly person or whoever it is that's with you, they can't do it on their own. They need you. Well, you're all going to go down, right? Because you have messed around all of your energy and time trying to fiddle around and get it right on everybody else. Now you ran out of oxygen, and you can't help yourself. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Jesus. So what does it mean to choose life? What does it mean to choose life, Deuteronomy 30 and You know, we find one of the scripture's most direct communication regarding the choices that we make and God's will for his people. And it says, today I have given you the choice between life and death. I stand in between of these, between blessings and curses. What is it? And I know a lot of times Christians, some people have a hard time believing in curses for whatever reason. Most of the time, the ones that are speaking are, quite frankly, under curses as they're speaking. But they feel like, oh, no, I'm only blessed. I'm only going to be blessed now. I'm only going to be blessed because, you know, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So I'm his beloved child, so I can't be cursed. I can't walk into curse tonight. I'm blessed. That's all I have is blessing. If that's all you're choosing, but you have to make sure that you are recognizing there is a choice. What are you choosing? What are you choosing today? So now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice that you make. This is speaking for my Father. I call on heaven and earth to be a witness to the choice that you make, that I make. Oh, that you would choose life. Choose life. He wants us to choose life. But sometimes we choose different goals. We choose the world. We choose what looks good before us. Wow, did you see him there? He is over 6 feet. You see how broad his shoulders look. No, he don't have any money. He doesn't have a job. But, oh, his skin is so smooth. And we get caught up in that. But did you see what she had on or didn't have on in this day and time? You see what she didn't have on? You see what she didn't cover up? Yeah, that's what I want to take home. That's what I want to present this to my mom. I want to present this as for my future wife. And then you're shocked when the family's like, who is this? Because they don't see what you see. All they see is the nakedness. All they see is the filth of the cursing and the drinkingness or all the different things that you are oblivious to, because all you saw is what she wasn't wearing. All you saw is he was over 6 feet. That's all you were able to see. So what did you choose? Now that you're in this thing 10 years down the road, you've had kids and they're all acting just like he or she. And you're like, what happened here? Oh, that you would choose life. And you think back, even sometimes in your heart, you don't want to admit it. If I could do it over again. If I could just do it over again. Why didn't I see this at the beginning? And if you're not careful, what will happen? You will walk right out of that pit after God has got you out of that pit. Oh, you thought you would never get away from that. He gets you out of that pit, and you walk and run directly to another one. Identical pit. It may be different in size. The diameter may be different. The circumference may be different. But it's the same pit. It leads to the same road of destruction. Oh, that you would choose life. So that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God. How do you love him? By obeying him. How do you love him? By committing yourself firmly to him, by spending time with him. That is the key to your life. By talking to him, communicating with him, sharing with him. You know, as Moses nears the end of his ministry, he counsels God's people to choose life. That's what we're looking at. He outlines the way to do this. He says, love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice. Remember that inner voice. It's in there just touching you, just moving you, directing you. He said, and hold fast to that. Stay to that. Don't let your favorite song get you off track. Oh, wow, I was just there, but oh. Let's get it on, whatever it is, you know. Distractions are going to come. But don't allow it to stop you from loving the Lord your God, from expecting to feel him. Listen to that feeling, that voice that he gives you. You know when it doesn't line up with the word of God. Nope, that wasn't him. That was somebody trying to slip in here. No, no, no. And the more you do it, the more you'll be able to identify. Oh, no, that's false. That doesn't line up with the word of God. God is not a negative God that's going to point the finger. See, look at you, what you did again. Nobody's going to love you. You'll never get that. No, no, no. Mm-mm. You stay in repentance with God. You speak to him. You let him know. John 15:4 said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, we can't, unless it abides in what? The vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. That says the Lord. So what? He said, if I abide in him, I choose him, I love him, he will love on me. He's going to abide in me. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. I am the branch. I can't bear fruit of myself. He said, unless it abides in the vine, he's the vine. I need to abide in him. I need to stay in the vine. I need to stay close, connected to the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in him. Are you writing that down? Can you get your sticky pad or your index card and write that down and maybe put it up on your wall? Somebody's going to walk into your house and they're going to be like, whoa, what is all of this? Oh, this is my pathway to his righteousness. This is me committing myself that I'm going to choose life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen. Look on your walls. You got something up there. Why not have this? Why not have the good news? Amen. Amen. Season the world with his word. To make this world a better place. Hallelujah. Hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life. Moses reviews the terms of the covenant, explaining to the people of Israel that walking in a covenant relationship with God means making a radical decision to commit themselves wholly to the Lord and his ways. To choose the Lord is to choose life. Now, I go back on that for a minute because in this day and time, things are so upside down, right? Things are so upside down. Things are going in all kind of different directions. And what we read in our word and what we're standing by and we're trying to live for, we're trying to teach to our kids. That's not what the world is living by anymore. Mm-mm. They are coming from under the covenant, and they're wanting to do it by themselves. They don't want to abide and stay close to the vine anymore. They said, but look at me. My branch is strong. Look at me. My title is this. Do this. We, on the other hand, are saying, you know, I can do all things through Christ. Hallelujah. I understand that my Father God that I choose to love, that I choose to listen to, that I choose to hold fast to, I understand that he is the vine. I'm not trying to become the vine. I can only be the branch. It's not going to ever become a time in my life, on my journey, that I switch things up to the point that now this tree only has branches. There's no vine. But the world says, you don't have to be a branch. If you want to be a vine, consider yourself a vine. And guess what? They said, and the church, the people of the church, you better recognize that I don't have to be a branch. That if I choose to be a vine, you better see me as a vine. But the word of God says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word would never change. It's still the same. He says that he is divine. I believe that he is divine. I live like he is divine. He says that I am the branch. I live like I'm a branch. He says that if I abide in him, then he will abide in me. And if I abide in him and he abides in me, girl, we can do some things. We bear much fruit. We bear much fruit. Hallelujah. In our jobs, in our kids, in our marriages, in our friendships, we bear much fruit because we recognize he's divine. But without him, I recognize we can do nothing. We can do nothing. We can do nothing. We can do nothing. Do you recognize that tonight? Do you recognize that tonight? Hallelujah. So that covenant relationship, you want to stay close to that. You want to choose the Lord and know that you're choosing life and not cursing. Choose life indicates that people have a choice, a decision to make. It's a lot of stuff going on. More celebrities and people that are has a name made for themselves that the world, the people of the world may know, just recognized by that face recognized by that name. They're coming out with all kinds of different things. And it just continues to add on. It used to be, what, just lesbians and gays. Now it's LBQT and the alphabet. Just the alphabet. People say, you know, the alphabet group. Yeah. So now, it's all kind of different things. It's queer and transsexuals and everything. Well, now everybody is now wanting to be pansexual. They just want to be pansexual. It's almost like, can you imagine if the animals just almost start to act like we do? Now everybody, you know, it's just sexual. It's just, I'm pansexual. Accept me as I am. This is who I am. And I'm going to push my beliefs on you. Don't you dare push yours on me. But here's my beliefs, and if you don't believe them, then you are hating me. You're doing something negative towards me. So it's a decision that we have to make amongst the people of the world that is flipping and flopping and changing. And don't worry. If you change and start jumping on their bandwagon, that bandwagon's going to flip 2 or 3, 4 times. You're going to be like, this is what I signed up for. Now it's this, this, and this. Yeah. Because they can't get a satisfaction. They can't find satisfaction in the curses. They keep trying to change and add on to it and do more. But it's never going to find. They're never going to find what they're looking for until they choose life. And again, we choose life by choosing God. And when we respond to the Lord in faith, love, and obedience, we receive life eternal. Now, under the old covenant, Israel received life abounding with all God's goodness and physical blessings. Under the new covenant, believers in Christ receive abundant life. Hallelujah. Did I send my son, that you may have life and have it in abundance? In the Old Testament, again, they were bound in with the goodness and the physical blessings. You can read that in Deuteronomy 11 and 26 and Deuteronomy 32 through 10. And then really goes on the 15, 2 through 15. And then Psalms 21, 4 and 6 will talk about the Deuteronomy under the Old Covenant. And then when we move to the New Covenant, we can go to John 10:10 and Ephesians 1:3-14. Important that you have that information. Go back and study and read it and talk to God about it. You know, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Life. That's why we can say when he said, but what makes your God? Because his son, he stepped out of eternity to come into humanity to save us. And he said, I am the resurrection and the life. What other God do you know of anybody that's serving that not only took the sting out of death, but was resurrected and has true life that he can give to us? I am the resurrection and the life. There is none. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. You will live. We choose life when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we dedicate our lives to following him, not just saying some jibber-jabber, but following him, living the life. He becomes our life. He becomes our life. Colossians 3 and 4 tells us he becomes our life. He becomes our choice every day. The Lord gives his followers a rich and satisfying life. So our obedience to God brings life. Now in all of his fullness, as well as life eternal, our obedience to God brings life in all his fullness, as well as our eternal life. Hallelujah. But disobedience, remember the choice, life or death, blessings or curses. Disobedience results in the greatest curse of all, exile, death, destruction, not just now, but forever. There's dead people walking amongst us every day. That's why they're able to do some of the things that they do. They've lost hope. Disobedience results in the greatest curse of all, death and destruction, total exile, now and forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But the life that God offers, the life Israel was to choose, was lived out in a worship of God, in purity, justice, fairness towards the weak and poor, and through obedience to all the instructions Moses has laid out. Choosing life was choosing the Lord's way above their own way, whether they understood it or not. Any other choice have led to and will lead you to tragedy, to death. It's not all about, oh, do I understand this? Or why this happened? Do I understand what's going on? It's not about that always. It's, do you trust him? Who do you trust? Do you trust him? That even when you don't understand, that you know that he's got you. You know that he's got you. You know, a lot of times I will use the analogy of a husband and wife. If that wife is out in the car and she has a flat tire, let's say. I don't care where she's at or where he's at. Now you just call your, AAA, or you call whoever is on your insurance that they're going to cover and come and get your tire fixed. But you always lean towards, first of all, let me call my husband. First of all, let me call my husband. Let me let him know I'm in trouble. I have an issue here. Because see why? My issue is his issue. He's my covering. And I know he's going to do whatever he needs to do to get to me. To get to me. To make sure I'm all right. Even if we have to trade cars and he stay there until they get there to do whatever they need to do. He wants to make sure I'm all right. That's Heavenly Father. That's the life that God offers. Hallelujah. The life Israel was to choose was lived out in worship of God, in purity, fairness, justice towards the weak, towards the poor. Through your obedience and all of the instructions that Moses was given, choosing life was choosing the Lord's way above our ways. And any other choice would lead to tragedy and death. So the call of Moses to choose life was not only about obeying rules, and sometimes people look at the commandments and the word of God as, it's just too many rules. I can't line up with those rules. I'm not perfect. That's why we have it. If we was perfect, we wouldn't need his directives, right? It's his perfection that we draw. It was a call to the heart. Have you had a call to the heart? And now Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord. Is that what he was asking the Israelites? Serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Jesus issued the same call as the first and the greatest commandment. The same call that is God was issuing back in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Jesus issues the same call with the commandment that was given back in the Old. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul and with all your mind. Check it out in Matthew 22:37-38. The same thing that was issued back in Deuteronomy. Jesus is issuing the same thing for you to seek him. He said, if you seek me and find me, when you seek me, you will find me. When you search for me with all of your heart, he's not hiding. Seek me. Choose me. You will find me. But you got to search with all your heart. You got to be obedient and love me with all your heart. You can't decide that you're going to straddle the fence and you're on this side just long enough, and then you get ready to get in trouble and you pull out your book of lies and you say, I'm going to lie my way through this. Or when things in the marriage seem to go wrong, you pull out your little black book and you start looking, where is that number at? Let me call him. He makes me feel good. She'll get my mind off of this bad marriage. Mm-mm. You got to seek him. You got to choose to be with him with all your heart, total obedience. Total obedience. Total obedience. The Lord, loving the Lord is the first step to choosing life. Loving the Lord. But I don't know if I love the Lord or not. I think I love the Lord. How much time do you spend with the Lord? How much do you understand the promises of the Lord? You don't even know what to get excited about if you don't even know what it is that he's promising you. See, when we love the Lord, we desire to know him intimately. You know, when you met that man, your husband, or when you met your wife, you didn't expect for it to just be just like this the whole time. No, you expected for after that marriage, you wanted the intimacy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most definitely. And a lot of people, they want the intimacy that day that they meet you. On this day and age. Well, probably back then too, but they just held off a little bit longer. But they definitely will let me hint towards it. If you move towards that way, hey, here we go. When we love the Lord, we desire to know him intimately. We hear his voice. We follow. One feature of the relationship between a shepherd and his flock is that sheep always recognize their shepherd's voice. You can go back in the archives and look at a couple, listen to one of the broadcasts that I think we did about 3 weeks ago about the sheep and the goat. Very, very, very good stuff that God has given us to speak to you about. But the sheep always recognizes the shepherd's voice. And with TikTok and different things like that, we get to see this in reality, right? We get to see some of the sheep herders and stuff as they go through, and they will stand there. And the sheep is scattered everywhere, out in the field doing whatever sheep do, right? Getting this up in trouble and waiting for someone to come rescue them. And they will have somebody say the same thing that they're going to say. And they'll call out to the sheep in a certain voice, in their voice, saying the same identical thing. And the sheep doesn't reply. They don't respond. They keep on getting into trouble. They keep on falling in the ditches. They keep on doing whatever sheep do. But when that shepherd, standing at the same place that the other person stood, not changing the inflections in his voice too much, but would say the same thing that the next person said, those sheep respond. Oh, boy, they get excited. Shepherd is calling. Shepherd is speaking. Let me get in line. Let me get close to him. The shepherd. So as we get to know the Lord intimately, we become aware that he is our great shepherd, Hebrews 13:20 tells us. He's our great shepherd. Hallelujah. He is our great shepherd. Oh, my. Let me take this to Father. This is too much for me. Let me take this to the great shepherd. Let me see which way he's going to direct me. Let me see what he wants to do in this situation. And whenever we might be tempted to turn away to the right or to the left, our shepherd's right there. Right there telling us the right way to go. Telling us the right way to go. We will obey and follow the voice of the Lord because we know and we trust him completely, deeply, through and through. Those sheep in the midst of all of them, they're trying to get as close to that shepherd's voice as they can. Hallelujah. And in the midst of all of it, some of them gets pushed over to the right or to the left, or some of them gets caught behind. Whoa, what is it? Where did everybody go? But they know that shepherd is not going to lose not one sheep. Hallelujah. Not one sheep is that shepherd going to lose. He's coming after you. He's coming looking for you. My brother used to sing a song in one of the mass choirs when we were definitely high school, almost ready for college. And I used to love to hear him and this young lady that was with him that sung it. The words just said a lot of different things, but it said, "And I was that one lost sheep." That's why I'm here today. Hallelujah. Because even though I was that lost sheep, even though you may be lost right now today, he's not willing to just leave you lost. He's not willing to leave you the same way that the world sees you. Mm-mm. He's not willing to give up on you. No. So when we're out and about in the world and we see somebody, I hear somebody says, in a ghetto slit, that's broke down on the side of the highway. Look at them in that ghetto slit. Look at them. Why are they out here in the heat and all black? Look at them. Why don't they do something with themselves? Why they got to look like this? Why they got to buy a brand new car and then just jack it up by coloring it different colors or putting these rims on it or make it high or make it low or making all these here things? That's their choice. That's their choice. But who are we that we are to look at somebody and say, "I'm greater than he because my ghetto sled is a Lexus, is a Lincoln, is a BMW. I'm rolling in a Mercedes, y'all. I got a Maybach." There's always somebody going to have something more than yours, better than yours. When you first get yours, it's, woo, wow. Give it a year or two, something else comes out that, ooh, my. Give it another couple of years, it's like, I'm not even through paying for this one. They already got three more out. It looks better than this one. They all will break down. You just don't know that. Mm. If you have the money to buy this brand new car, whatever it is, who am I to tell them you can't put these rims on it? Who am I to tell them that, oh, it has to be in the regulations, my regulations say, not the city or the state or the government, no, but my regulations say that you shouldn't paint your car certain colors or you shouldn't lift it up so high or, you know, who am I? Who am I? Choose this day who you're going to serve. Do you think God is setting somewhere? Then, well, no, they didn't. They got that Maybach and now they're this good. Look what they did to that Lincoln. They unturned it all kind of different colors. Funny sounding horn on it. Look what they did to that truck. Truck's supposed to be high. Why is that one low? It never stops. It's never ending. The enemy will always give you something to look down your nose at somebody else about. Well, you know what? That sheep just over there, leave him over there. He saw everybody else get up here. He heard my voice like everybody else did. Everybody else ran up here, but he wants to go there. Let him go that way. I know he can't make it without me, so I'm just going to let him go. Hmm. I thank God daily that God is who God is. And the people I meet here on this earth are not my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I choose life today. I choose blessings. That's a choice that I make daily. And we choose life when we choose God, who is the giver and sustainer of our life. He's the giver of life, and he keeps us in this life, sustainer of life. The Bible says God breathed the breath of life into humans. That's in Genesis 2 and 7. Since our lives are a gift from God, hear me now as we close. Since our lives are a gift from God, our highest aim ought to be living for him. Since our lives are a gift, and if I knocked on your door right now, and I said, Jackie, I have a gift for you. Hallelujah. But knock on your door. I said, Robert, look what I got for you. I have a gift for you. What? You start reaching for it. You start wanting to receive it. See what it is. Some excitement would come. Why would you give a gift for me? God has given us the gift of life. God breathed the breath of life into your nostrils, my nostrils. And he can take it back whenever he wants to. He's not an Indian giver. But if you're through with it and you're not using it anymore anyway, you're not doing anything that, you know, you're not seeking him, you're not seeking his face, you're not seeking his heart, you're not seeking him anyway. If you won't season the world with his word, he said, I'll get somebody else to do it. I'll get somebody else to do it. That's okay. Come on. Come on. But since our lives are a gift from God, our highest aim, again, ought to be living for him. Not this is my life. I do what I want to. You can't tell me how to live my life. Oh, well, I live it and I'm dying. You can even give yourself life. How do you think this is your life? Yeah. But Jesus said, if you cling to your life, you're going to lose it. You're going to lose it. So you can try to jump on every fad wagon that is going on in this world. Today I'm gay. Today I'm this. Tomorrow I'm going to be climbing the fence of the White House just like everybody else. The next day I'm going to jump over here and I'm going to do something different and I'm straight. And now whatever it is, if you cling to life, because I don't want nobody to be mad at me. I don't want nobody to say that I wasn't fair. I don't want to do anything. This is not your life. This is a gift from God. And what he loves, I love. And what he cherishes, I cherish. And when he's excited, I'm excited. But we have to look at all sides. What he says, no, 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 no. I got to stand in agreement to that. I got to stand in agreement to that. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for them, you will find your life. You will find it. You step away from those friends. And you said, you know what? We were just ride or die, I thought. And then this came about, and they don't want, because I have a relationship with God, they don't want to be with me anymore. Step away. Give it up. Give up that portion of your life. Now you're getting ready to find true life. Now you're getting ready to live in a luxury life. You're getting ready to see. You couldn't see when you was hanging out there. Now you've covered your body up. Now you care about what people see. You don't want to walk out there showing everything. Now you're getting ready to find your life, your purpose. We choose life by letting go of our selfish desires and living for his sake. By doing what? Letting go of our selfish desires to talk about somebody else. Label them just because they don't look like you. Just because they don't live in the neighborhood you do. Just because they speak different than you. They speak a different slang or they got Ebonics going. Whatever it is, let go of your selfish desires and start living for his sake. Then, and only then, can we say, like Apostle Paul, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Hallelujah. Psalms 139:23. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxiety, and see if there is any wicked ways in me, and then lead me in the way everlasting, your way, the right way, the righteous way. Lead me in that way everlasting. You got to be willing to surrender it all and come to him and ask him, God, search me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxiety, and see if there is any wicked ways in me. We get so comfortable even in our wickedness that I don't really know if I want him to remove this. This is how I've been getting through life. And then when you remove them, fill me back up with you, your ways. Lead me in your ways forevermore. Hallelujah. Do you acknowledge God as your creator? Not just in your home. Do your kids know? Do the people on your job know? Have you put your trust in the person and work of Jesus Christ? Have you put your trust in Jesus Christ for your forgiveness of your sins? Do you repent of your sins? Do you know if you have not? In the book of life, if your name is not in there, you will be cast into the lake of fire with death and Hades. Do you know if you repent, which means turn away from, you're not doing that thing over and over again? He would throw him in the sea of forgetfulness because he's looking at your heart, not just listening to the word. And he will remember them no more. And it's nowhere written there. Do you know anyone who needs to hear the good news of Christ's death and his resurrection? It's many so-called gods out here that have died because, you know what, they was wrapped in flesh and they died. But they didn't resurrect. Do you know someone? Don't let it be too late that you hear about the homegoing and you said, I didn't get to share the good news with them. They were so out in the world. I didn't know how to reach them. I didn't know how to reach them, Father God. He said, but you can come to me. Our intimate relationship, I share with you because I know each and every individual. They're individually knitted together, made by me, created by me. I know what they need to get turned around. Don't let it be too late. When you think about the importance of nations treating people well, do you just think about, oh, we need to get together and vote and pass another legislation or pass another bill? When we think about that, how are you helping? How are people being mistreated in your own community? I'm not talking about in your state, not even talking about in your city. But let's start just looking in your own community. There are people being mistreated in your own community. Are you one of those mistreating them? Are you refusing to help because their ghetto sled has broke down? Are you turning your nose because some beggar is asking you for a sandwich? I'm not giving them anything to eat. Or if you give them a dollar, you got to make them hop and jump. Make them come to you. Make them do this. Who are you? Who are you? The lake of fire is real. What can you do in your community to encourage treating people with the honor and dignity that they deserve as human beings made in God's image? Everyone that you bring your tongue against that cuts and dies them, remember, they're made in God's image. They are still human beings that deserve to be treated with honor and dignity. You said, but you didn't hear the way they was talking. You don't know the life they live. They are still, I'm encouraging you. Remember, we're not out here trying to change others. It's through your changes. God will deal with them. You just keep praying for them. You just keep encouraging them. You just keep doing the things that God is telling you to do, treating them with honor and dignity. Keep reminding yourself that's still a child of God. That man or woman right there is still made in God's image. They are human beings. We treat animals better than we do some human beings. And some Christians may think that their faith is just between them and God. That is between me and God. I'm not praying in front of you. I'm not praying for you. I'm not even praying for myself. I want you to do that. Can you come and pray for me? If I could pray, if I wanted to pray for myself, I wouldn't have called you. I mean, these are things we actually hear. They think, you know, it's between me and God, what I think, what I believe. Really? We can forget that God cares about the whole world when we start to think selfishly like that. He cares about the whole world. He created everything and everyone. What do you know about the challenges and opportunities of that Christians experience in other countries outside of your own experiences, that's going into far lands trying to season the world with the word? What do you know about that? Are you praying for them? God says when we prepare, we put on our boots of peace, that we should also pray for one another. There are other saints that is out and about preaching and teaching and trying to season the world with the good news, which is the word. And so I didn't even know there was no missionaries out here doing anything or being killed or going through different things. Well, now you do. And if you need a particular group that you want to pray with, if that makes you feel it feel more real to you, you can reach out to me. I can give you some of those groups' names, and so you can reach out and start to pray every day for any sisters and brothers that is out here being ridiculed because they are giving the good news to a dying world. How could you learn more about what God is doing in other parts of the world? Open your ears. Get away maybe from whatever TV that you're watching. Start watching something meaningful. Start asking God, how should I pray? Who should I pray for? What is it that you want me to pray about today? Hallelujah. Well, I thank you for everyone who has stopped by tonight, whether it's in live here, all of you in the chat rooms, God bless you. If you have left a prayer request in the chat room, know that I will get back with you because I am praying over every prayer request. And I want to see your breakthrough. Hallelujah. I want to see your breakthrough. I want to hear you testify about your breakthrough. It's so easy sometimes to bring our prayer requests, but when we talk about praise reports, it gets quiet. Nobody wants anybody to know that I was going through that, that he delivered me from this or he delivered me from that. But when you're going through, you're in so much pain, you'll reach out. Can you pray for me? I want to pray with you too. I want to see what you're praying over yourself. Amen. 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 So God bless each and every one of you. I pray that whatever you have received from the Lord tonight, just know it's not just something to tickle your ears. He wants to live inside of you. He wants to live inside of you. And if you have not accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior, ask God to create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Even those that's been going for a while, been on your journey for a while with the Lord, you need to do those self-examinations and come before the Lord. And we need to constantly ask him to check inside of us. God, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Put me and set me on fire for you, that I do your work, I do your will. Hallelujah. If you have not received the Holy Ghost that's living inside of you, Jesus Christ is not your personal Lord and Savior. You're still dependent on the high of some alcohol or the high of a drug or the high of another person to lift you up. And when they get tired or they're down and then you're all disbalanced, you're all out of your mind because you don't know what to do now because they're not coming here lifting you up and singing praise to you and telling you how pretty you are and how strong you are. You need a Lord and Savior that's going to look at your heart. And he knows how to connect with your heart. We just do that by, first of all, just accepting that God gave his only begotten son to cover your sins. You got to believe that you are a sinner. You were born into sin. With God, you will sin less because you'll be recognizing the pit holes before you go jump off in there the next time. You'll want to stay close to his word as he cleans your heart. And you got to believe that his son, the only begotten son, the best that he could give us, oh, that he died for us. And his blood covers our sins, but he resurrected. You got to believe it all, that he resurrected to show us that we only got to die once. And the opportunity for us to be with him is available to us. It's available to us. He said, I go and prepare a place for you. For you. He said, I'm just a nobody. No, for you. That you can be where I am. So you confess that you are a sinner. You invite him to come. God, come live inside of me. Show me how to walk a righteous walk. Show me how to live the life that you created me to live. Forgive me of my sins. I know I've messed up trying to do this on my own. But God, I surrender. I can't do it on my own. But your word said that I can do all things if you live inside of me, if I accept you as my Lord and Savior. So God, I'm accepting you right now. I'm inviting you to come and take over. Come and take over. Come and live inside of me. Show me who I never imagined I am. Hallelujah. Give me new eyes that I can see. I want to hear things different. I want to be able to block out things and say, nope, nope, nope. I don't want that off inside of me. That sounds like gossip to me. But you can take it to the person that you're talking about and talk to them about it. No, no, no. That may upset me. I don't want to get so angry that I run out here in the world and not represent my God. I'm representing some angry, demonic spirit that has told me, go do it. Move, move. Nobody will blame you if you do this. Then I land in prison and he's out just capturing others. Hallelujah. If you just prayed that prayer, you have just made one of the biggest decisions that you're ever going to make in this journey, on this side. So it's important that you follow through. Don't just say some words. Do you really believe it? Did you really confess? Can you really accept him to come and live inside of you? Can you accept that here he stands? at the door of your heart and he's knocking. Will you let him in? If you open that door and invite him in, he will enter. He'll come and sup with you. He'll come and be with you. Hallelujah. He'll come and wrap himself up in you. He will reveal some things to you that you did not know, that you have not seen, that you have not heard. You can't even think about your mind, haven't even thought about it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All the heavenly hosts are rejoicing with you right now. Right now, they're rejoicing with you. I am Minister Von Dillman, and I'm coming to you out of sunny San Antonio, Texas. If anybody needs to borrow some sun, we got some for. We got some extra. Come and get it. We'll need it back around February. Yeah, about February. We still, it gets a little cold. We're going to need some of that. But for now, we've been triple digit in almost all summer long. So come and get some. Tell them Vaughn sent you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you and keep you as you go into your night, or if you're in the archives right now, God bless you and keep you. We'll see you anytime that you want to come in, or you have a particular topic that you want to get broke down, or you want me to pray about with you, or you want me to discuss. Please leave a message in one of the chat rooms, or you can always reach me. My information is all there, or you definitely can call in on this line. The call-in number, of course, is 563-999-3699, and just indicate that you want to speak to the host. Amen? Once you're on. Well, we're going to leave you tonight just reminding you that he's all-powerful, he's lovely, he's kind, he's everything that you need. Whatever you're looking for right now, he's got it. He's got it. So as you relax, I want you to take these next 10 minutes and just relax on the word of God. And we'll see you next time, okay? All right. Again, this is the word of God through the voice of Vaughn on our late night chat with Vaughn. Have a good night.
I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you down. It doesn't take a trophy to make you cry. I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Oh.
That you need. Have a good night.